Hey everyone, it's Ash Ketchum, and you're listening to Hypeful.com's PokeChat. So download, comment, and subscribe. Gotta catch them all, right?
Hello, and welcome to PokeChat, episode number 42. We're back to our XY playthrough after doing our Origins recap last week. We are doing our first post-game episode. We're doing two, and this episode we're going to be talking about all of the legendaries that you can catch if you want after you've become the Elite Four champion. With myself, I have the lovely Saman. Saman, how are you doing on this Wednesday?
I am doing fine. Just enjoying my break still.
Yes.
Oh, cool. You're on school break?
Yep, too much.
Oh, great. Enjoy that. That's awesome. Awesome. So let's jump right into everything that happens as soon as you restart your game when you've beaten the Elite Four. So you start up again at home like you would in any other game. Your mom congratulates you for the parade that she watched on TV and tells you to meet Sycamore at Lumios Station. So this is the first impression that you get that you are basically a celebrity now because of that parade. Everyone sees you as the Kalos city's survivor, you know, everyone a hero, and they love you. They think that you're the best thing since sliced bread. And your mom does, which is really sweet. So, Saman, are you liking being a hero and being recognized for once? Because I think we've saved the world many times in Pokemon, but it's never been, like, something that we were recognized for, you know?
Emphasis on for once. It's really a little more realistic. I mean, you basically saved the region and became Pokemon champion, so you'd expect that to be celebrated, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would, because I don't think it's something that happens very often. And Blue was a big thing when he won, and Red beat him. Like, you know, that was a large event. And Lance was like, yeah, you would have been the winner, but I had someone else come by, huh? And it's even funnier, too, when I think, oh, God, what was it? Oh, we were just watching Origins. And they were all there in the Hall of Fame, there were all these other pictures of all the other teams that have won the Elite Four. And that was weird, because to me, that would have, I don't know, really just, like, it just felt like there were more winners than should have existed. Do you agree? Remember those pictures in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, they were pretty cool. But it kind of minimizes the victory, doesn't it?
It does, because it makes you feel like everyone's doing it like they are in the real world. You know, we're all playing the Pokemon handheld games, and our ultimate goal is to beat the game by beating the Elite Four champion, you know? So it makes us feel like we're not even special within the game itself, I think, from Origins. And I don't know, it's weird, because I know we've talked about how Origins and the games live in a very different world, but I don't know how different that's supposed to be. I don't know. I mean, that is Gen 1, too, so I don't know. I know the difference. Okay, so when you walk out the door, Shauna surprises you and pretty much demands that you trade random Pokemon for her Froakie. Well, it's not always Froakie, but it is the last starter that that she had, I guess, because Serena would have taken the one that's opposite of your type. Yeah, so I got Froakie for myself, and Saman, I don't know what starter you picked, so what level 1 did you get?
I got Froakie as well, because I chose Chespin as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so basically, when she got her Froakie, she didn't do anything with it, and now wants to trade it away.
Well, no. She said she got it from an egg, so she was breeding it.
Ah, right. Oh, so she bred it. All right.
And was it at level 1 or level 5? I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
I mean, like,
might have been level 1.
Canonically, it should have been level 1, but my brain tells you level 5 for some reason. I don't know. Maybe she trained it up before she gave it to you, too. Yeah, and she named it Froable, and I was like, why'd you have to get such a stupid name? If I want to get rid of the name now, I have to breed it because it's from a trainer. Okay, so if you fly over to Lumio City's train station, Sycamore's scientists will greet you right then and there and upgrade your Pokedex to a National Dex, which basically just organizes your decks in a different way. It doesn't really do anything to upgrade it, you know? It just allows you to see all the Pokemon all in one as opposed to in separate different regions. I never really got the point of doing national decks. I don't know. Is there something that I'm missing there? Is that something special, Saman?
Well, it looks like you could catch Pokemon from other regions from step 1. So, I don't know. I guess it maybe it lets you catch more.
Yeah, like in other games, like I can think like Gen 3, for instance, that there weren't any other generation Pokemon up to the part where you got your natural Dex and then you were able to catch other Pokemon. Wasn't that right?
Yeah.
Or at least after you beat the Elite Four, you saw your other generation Pokemon. And Gen 3, I'd like to say, is unique in that, because I can't think of another gen where I haven't been able to find my Rattata and Pidgey in the beginning. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It doesn't make as much sense for this game, though, just because we saw Generation 1 Pokemon straight away.
Yeah, and I think it's just tradition since they've started it in like Gen 3, you know, they had to start doing that because they had different like physical regions, because Kanto and Johto were connected. So, you know, you're definitely going to see those Pokemon wheezing in and out of each other. Wheezing! so I think Gen 3 started that, and they have to keep up with it just because it's a tradition at this point, even if it doesn't make sense. Okay, so we talked to Sycamore. He gives you a TMV pass to the atypical post-game, really strong trainered city. It's called Kilode City. Kilode City is a city where you will play around with Pokemon Safari and some kind of like battle tower, basically. If you go on the train and you get off at the Kilode City train station, a random man in a suit recognizes you from the parade and gives you a versus recorder as thanks, which allows you to record battles that you have against, I'm not sure, I don't play around with it. I don't know if it's physical friends or people you play with that are NPCs. I don't care. Versus recorder doesn't do anything for me. I don't need to show people my battles, usually. That's already happening on GTS, you know, so... Or on the PSS, sorry. Yeah, so... It's something special to me. All right, so an ace trainer in his house will teach you the finer ways to hit flying or levitated ability to Pokemon with ground type moves, very specific. And then he challenges you to a battle using Weezing, Broadzgong, and Electross. He acts like you haven't fought against these kind of Pokemon the whole game, and all of a sudden he's
totally
like,
didn't call that.
He's like, "Do you know flying types exist? Oh, and levitate too." And I'm like, yeah, that's a niche. Like, why does that matter to tell me in the end of the game? You should have told me that, like, in the beginning.
And we totally couldn't guess that he was going to fight us with those Pokemon.
I know. Well, you know, quite frankly, I liked his team. I thought that was in general a unique and well-balanced team. I had trouble beating it. I did, because it had a good type coverage with itself. Especially Electross. Electross has no weaknesses, and that thing is just, like, scary looking.
A boss.
I don't know. You know, when I look at it, I'm just like, ugh! There's like all these teeth coming out, and I'm just like, it's gonna suck my soul out. Oh, it reminds me, actually, I just watched the movie Piranha 3D, and it reminds me of one of those piranhas in that movie. It looks just like it. It has the same mouth and everything.
Real-life eels are creepy enough.
Yeah, oh, jeez, I can't stand them. Did you ever see an eel in real life before?
Oh, I saw some massive, we've got some massive eels at Auckland Zoo over here.
Seriously?
Yep.
I've never seen an eel in real life, but I think I've seen them on, like, Discovery Channel. And they really, have electricity in their body, which is weird, because, like, all living beings have electricity, because that's, like, how your muscle impulses work, you know, the synapses and all that. But the fact that they can, like, charge it up enough to, like, exude it out is just strange to me. You know what I mean? I'm not sure if it's, like, you know, Flotsam and Jetsam and The Little Mermaid, where they can, like, light up things, but I think that they really, like, could give you a shock. And are jellyfish the same way? I don't know. I don't think so. I think jellyfish just have poison barbs on themselves, don't they?
I think it's in their tentacles somehow.
Yeah. Well, they all know from Finding Nemo when Dory jumps on the heads, and the she and Marlin have to or whatever his name was. I don't remember the dad clownfish's name anymore. Anyways, back to Pokemon. Oh, if I had a dime for how many times I said back to Pokemon. All right, so yeah, pretty good team for that guy. If you go to the Pokemon Center, a man will be there to judge the usefulness of any given Pokemon in your team by looking at the good and bad stats. The one that I did was for my Pavilion, and he was just like, yeah, it's pretty good, but its health sucks. And I was like, don't tell me that. I know that. Stop pointing out my flaws. Did you bother with this guy?
Yeah, he said my Charizard speed could be better, basically.
Yeah, Charizard speed's not too high, but it's all right. Yeah, my Pavilion's health is bad, though. Like, I've known that. I've known that for a while. Okay, so also, the Pokemart will sell you very useful TMs, including Overheat, Wild Charge, Giga Impact, Reflect, and Light Screen. Very good for meta. Ooh, liking that they're selling them in this generation. They probably sold them in other generations, too. And I think that they sold them in, like, let's say, Goldenrod, for instance. But, you know, they weren't, like, named in Gen 2. I mean, when they were remade for Gen 4, they were named. But I used to hate that, going to PokeMarts and not knowing what the TM was, and maybe knowing what it was from its description, but, like, having to Google its number, because it was, like, TM27. I was like, what is that? I don't... Was that obnoxious? Like, I'm so glad those days are over.
I hated that.
Seriously, like, that was obnoxious. Like, just write what the TMs are. It's not like, is that supposed to be like an added challenge? Or it's just like, it's annoying. It's like, the information's out there, guys. They know you're going to Google it. So, like, just write it on there already. Save us the trouble. All right.
You
so,
know, some people would have just brought them all to see what they were and got crap ones.
Yeah, but it's not like the Pokemon company's getting more money in-game. Like, it's not like an in-game purchase, you know? It's not like Angry Birds, buy more levels. All right, so there is a Sky Battler in a house up on the first set of flares, stairs that gives you the TM58 Sky Drop. I think that is a fighting-type move of all things, not a flying-type move. I think so. I don't know. No. I'm thinking of a different move. A Sky Drop is... I'm thinking of Seismic Toss. They're very similar because it's the same type of thing. Like, you bring someone up high and you drop them down. So yeah, that's a pretty useful TM, I'd say, if you're looking for a decent flying type move. I'm sure that that fire flying bird of this generation will eat that on up. Oh, that thing's a beast. I can't stand it. It's hard to beat. It's like, it's even harder than that rock flying Gen 5, sorry. That what was the thing? It was it's been so long since I've even seen it, because it hasn't...
Are you thinking of a Molga?
No, I'm not thinking of Emolga. I know Emolga. No, it's it starts with an A. I'm going to say it's like Arch something. His name is like Arch something. It used acrobatics all the time. It's like the Pokemon that introduced acrobatics. That's in the move acrobatics.
I don't know.
I wish I could remember it right now. My brain's totally blanking on what it is. It might be something really obvious that we're not going to notice. All right, so little girl inside the house near the Pokemon Center gives you TM91 Flash Cannon, because little girls tend to carry harsh-sounding TMs such as Flash Cannon. And then you can go to the Friend Safari, which has different Pokemon in them randomly assigned to you. So what I mean by that is that each person that plays Pokemon X or Y is given a type of Pokemon that will always be in their Pokemon Safari. When friends register you on, you know, they take your friend code and they register it in your 3DS, they will see your name along with the type listed along with the places you can choose to go to. So let's go through and say all the types that the team that we're you know, running on PokeChat has. Okay, so Jack has flying types, pretty good. Ariel has ground, I liked that. Saman, you had poison, that was probably the best out of all of them. I actually am going to use one that I got in your Friend Safari for my next playthrough. I'm going to use Toxicroak. So that was really cool.
You're welcome.
And then Devin is normal. Yeah.
Lame.
Okay. You're Devin, enjoy your normal types. I think that's boring as crap. So poor Devin. He doesn't have a fun Friend Safari.
It's interesting that I've got poison, because I don't typically use normal types. Poison types.
And I don't know my typing, because Saman, you haven't used it yet, and you didn't tell me what it was yet.
I gotta get on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so anyone who wants to add me on the friend codes can go in the Facebook group, and we have a document in the files section so that you can add me or any of the hosts, and you can get these Pokemon too if you want, and there are some pretty decent Pokemon hanging out in that area. I like to say that Jack got like a Doduo there, which is like the biggest dud at anyone's. Yeah, and usually it's two Pokemon up until you interact with them, like having a battle or something. So Saman had three Pokemon to capture in the little grass patch, and they just basically cookie-cuttered it. Like, they didn't like want to make a new environment each time that they had a different type for that Friend Safari. So it's just like a normal, you know, whatever, 4x4 patch of grass, we'll say, or something. So plain and simple, Friend Safari gives you randomly assigned typed Pokemon, and that's the way it runs. The next big thing in Cloud City was the Battle House, which is run by Four Sisters, and in here you're, of course, allowed to do single, double, triple rotation battles And all of your Pokemon will go down to level 50 if they're above, using the rules that we've all known since Gen 2's Battle Tower and Crystal. Okay, so I did spend some time in here, and I don't know why. I ended up getting something like a 13 with the battle points that I earned. It was kind of ridiculous, but it's addicting, because it's just like, how far can I go with just like these three Pokemon or something, you know? Like, it's kind of fun. Like, Double Battles was really fun, too. And did you play around in Battle House or anything?
Not for too long, because my personal addiction is the Battle Chateau. But
you actually get experience and money.
Yeah. And I'm not a fan of rotation battles either, so, yeah.
Oh, rotation battles are the bane of Pokemon. They're horrible. These things just don't make sense, because everyone just like, rotates and attacks, too. And I'm like, you should only be able to choose one of those things. You should be able to rotate or attack, not do both. Because how can you plan ahead? It's just like a random battle. It's like, let's just toss darts and see who wins. I'm like, that's just stupid. There's like no strategy in that thing. There's like maybe an ounce of strategy in that, you know?
Whatever it lands on.
Yeah, seriously, it's obnoxious. I don't know. I'm not a big fan. Basically, if you play around enough, you'll get to battle the sisters, and I'm sure you'll see special people come in. Maybe gym leaders will come in or something. I don't know. I didn't want to play around that much. I got to like battle 15, and they started becoming too generic for me to care. But they do increase in difficulty as you go along, and they'll start off with, I don't know, let's say Froakie will show up a lot, and then eventually you'll have his third stage as opposed to his first stage in the battles. But they'll all be at level 50, so it's a weird thing. I never quite understood how everyone was put down to level 50. Was that just like, I don't know, like, let's say you're at level 70, right? They're going to subtract the upgrades that you've gotten in each stat negative 20 levels. Is that how that's going to work?
I guess so. But why don't they just leave it at whatever level you're at?
Oh my god, they couldn't, because that means you're just going to wreck that breaks it. Like, they have to have a consistent rule. I agree that they have to, and that's fine. 50 level is perfect, because that means that a lot of Pokemon are evolved to that level, you know, so it just makes sense overall. Okay, so if you go up to the top of town after you've visited the Friend Safari in the Battle House, Serena will battle you. Her new Pokemon that she has is a Clefable, very tanky Pokemon. Fits along with Miltank and Wailord and Snorlax. Just, you know, a general tank that doesn't really do too much, unfortunately. And I believe that it has its second fairy typing in this game now. I know this Clefairy finally had that, right? Or maybe I was making that up.
Surely.
Clefairy had to have, because, I mean, fairies in its
name. Yeah, it has fairy in its name.
I think I just assumed it was. I never thought to check up on that, you know, but I just assumed that it was going to be. Like, that's the one that I knew had to have been.
It's kind of a basic. It's a basic assumption.
Yeah, totally. And, of note, she has a Mega Absol now. Wow. That thing just looks cool. I like it. It just doesn't do too much. I mean, I think I was way too overleveled at this point for my EXP share to even look at her. Like, I used to even, like, try and give an effort toward her battles, but now I'm just like, hey, Serena, see ya. I was about to do a tennis
pretty
show.
Pretty much.
You got served, but I stopped myself, so you're welcome. Okay, so as soon as you beat her, she gives you the Absolite Mega Evolution Stone as a prize. She also references Lissandra like he's alive, saying something about, if he saw the love that you put toward your Pokemon, we would all be better and have friends and hold hands and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, alive after that nuclear explosion. Nice. He was in the epicenter. That's okay. The house stood up next to him, too. So, I mean, maybe he's in the house. That's it. Got it. Perfect. Pokelogic.
He's off preparing for Pokemon Z.
Yes, he definitely is off preparing for Pokemon Z. If that does indeed take place in the next timeline. Usually the third games and each generation do take place later in the timeline. I haven't thought of a one that hasn't yet. I can't think of one at the top of my head. So Lissandra could make another show up in Pokemon Z, you know, if and when that exists. So basically Serena's last note of importance that she's ever going to do for you in the whole game is she tells you to go meet Sycamore underneath the Sundial in Anastar City to find out more about the Megastones. Fly on over there and Sycamore will tell you a theory of where Megastones came from. I think this is the 10th time we've heard a theory about this, and they all sound different, so this is this one. So he said that Yveltal and the ultimate weapon, or Xerneas, turned normal evolution stones into mega evolution stones. Don't ask me how. Something about explosions and energy. Yeah. He then upgrades your mega ring and tells you that if you want to go searching around all of Kalos, you will be able to find more mega evolution stones. They write this in as saying that your encounter with Yveltal allowed your mega ring to absorb the power of the Anastar City sundial. Huh? Like, that's just so, like, backwards. I don't understand, like, that's just weird logic, you know? Like, I was looking at this, and I was like, can you just said, like, I upgraded your ring and go find more? Like, they had to, like, think of, like, another weird thing to tie in with Yveltal. They already had, like, 10 things that that thing did. And I'm just like, God, that legendary does too much. Leave it alone.
It has to be mystical.
It's
super can't just mystical. Be a basic explanation.
I mean, I'd totally be fine with, like, oh, Pokedex is upgraded, and so is your Mega Ring. Done. That'd been fine by me. I really would have been happy with that. I really would have. I mean, it's scientific stuff, too, at that point, and I don't know. Mega Evolutions are just a weird cluster, to tell you the truth. They don't really fit a lot of rules of the series. They just kind of, like, go for it. They're like, yeah, this, whatever. You'll never see the Pokemon de-evolve for Mega Evolutions in battle, but it just kind of happens. Like, you capture it, and it might just, I don't know, go back to Absol as opposed to Mega Absol? Maybe. Don't worry about it, though. But hey, Samad, you just watched the movie 16, and you know that from the clips you've seen, even from before that, that Mewtwo goes back and forth between its Mega Forms. So we've seen how they de-evolve. It's just a strange concept. It's like very Dragon Ball Z or Digimon to see Pokemon de-evolve, isn't it?
Comparing Dragon Ball Z to movie 16 is insulting.
No, just the Pokemon the series in general.
That movie, it was entertaining to watch critically.
Yeah, I'm sure.
All right, I'll say so, that.
Yeah, trust me, I know. Okay, so my question for you, Samad, is on the specifics of when you can find these megastones. I didn't go around finding them. I only found a couple for Dennis, one of our listeners. He's like, oh, hey, go find me Houndoomite and, I don't know, some other, Absolite or something. And he wanted me to find them for him, but I had to do it between 8 and 9 p.m. But Professor Sycamore tells you can do this anytime during the daytime because that's when the Anastar City sundial is shining or something. So I'm just like, all right, that's definitely nighttime at 8 p.m. So what's the real rule? I understand what Sycamore was coming at with that. Did you?
I think it was something like between 6 and 8 p.m. or something. I'm not sure. I hate the clock system.
Everyone's going to just time travel. Are you kidding me? Like, why would you bother doing anything but time traveling? go on your little console, load up the little settings, and bam, bam, bam. Oh, it's 8 p.m. Cool, let's go get all of the Mega Evolution Stones. So I'm not going to go through and see how you find all the Mega Evolution Stones. They're online. It's not interesting how you find them. They're in completely random spots. They just threw them where they felt like it. For instance, the Houndoomite was in the middle of, like, below that route that had the hotel, the abandoned hotel. It was just, like, sitting there at the bottom of it. And I was just like, why? It just doesn't make any sense. Is it supposed to be, like, a fun puzzle? Because it doesn't relate. This Pokemon's typing isn't even, like, seen in this grass area. Like, why? You just, let's throw them out. Let's throw the Dragon Ball Zs out there and see where they land. The Dragon Balls, come on, guys, go find them. Get your wishes.
get the Dragon Radar.
Yes, yeah, get the Dragon. No, okay, so yeah.
I'm not about to go searching for Houndoomite, that's for sure. That's not on my list.
I mean, yeah, there's like, I don't know, I'm going to guess like 10 out there that you can go get right now to complete the Mega Evolutions that have been confirmed for XY. And if you're really into that, go have fun, guys. I don't know, there's some people you get to talk to. I know that one point, if you have Giratina and you talk to some lady, she will give you the Mega Evolution Stone for that Pokemon. Like, you have to do little things like that, but honestly, that's not really part of the main playthrough. That's just, like, extra collecting stuff. Like, we're not going to talk about where you find every Pokemon, and we're not going to talk about where you find every item and or Mega Evolution Stone, because it's post-game and, you know, story's done. So the legendary birds from Gen 1 show up to please all of the Gen 1ers. This isn't the only time Gen 1ers are pleased in this game. We'll note, this is, like, the 20th time that they've done a direct service to Gen 1ers. So, yeah. Legendary birds show up for probably at least the 20th time in Pokemon canon, so that's fun. There's supposed to be one of them, but there's definitely like 20. The new thing about them, though, is that they show up and run away immediately. You can't even put them to sleep like you could the running dogs of Gen 2, for instance. So, yeah, they just see you, and I don't even think they register in your Pokedex, so you have to, like, instead of being able to chase them on your Pokedex to see their area, you have to just guess where they're going to be for, like, more encounters. Did yours register in your Pokedex? Because my article didn't. I couldn't find it again. I said, do I have to randomly encounter this thing again, or?
They register in your Pokedex, but that does not make it any less annoying.
Well, if you fly to the area, they're going to move, so you basically have to trap it with a bike, like, it to be killing, or walking, or whatever. You have to just, like, walk up the tiles and see where it's going on your Pokedex and just try and trap it in, like, a corner. And every once in a while, they transport themselves, which is really annoying. They just, like, jump all the way across the map because they're just done with you. And I'm like, So I'm not catching my legendary bird. I don't care to. It doesn't matter to me.
I rage quit.
Yeah, I rage quit. I saw that once, and I was like, it happened random. I feel like your first encounter with your bird is going to have to be not random, though. Like, it was definitely the first time I, like, landed in grass since I beat the Elite Four. So I feel like they did that on purpose to, like, entice me. But I'm like, no, your Ponzi scheme's not going to work. I'm not going to look after that thing. Not happening. So that's the legendary bird thing, and you only have one flying around in your game. And it is one that is, for all intents and purposes, super effective against the type of your starter. And I say for all intents and purposes because I had Chespin and I got Articuno. I mean, you know, like, ice is super effective against grass, but usually we'd see, like, you know, typically fire, water, and grass type. So we don't exactly have that for our birds, but we still have the super affecting types against your starter. You know what I mean, Simon? You get where I'm coming from. You get my logic.
They've still got the parallel thing going on.
Yeah, it's just parallel to whatever, you're right, it's parallel to whatever starter you picked. So that's, it's really fun, I think, that they had so many things that related to where your starter was, including, you know, what Pokemon you'd be given for free, like from Shauna when she gave you that Froakie, Chespin, or Fennekin, or whatever. So it's just, it's cool that the game really went through and, like, picked that first decision at that cafe that seems so nonchalant and made it really important to you throughout the whole entire game, you know?
I liked that.
Yeah, it added, like, a sense of, I wouldn't say heavy rain, but, you know, it's like the game decisions that you make actually matter. Almost Mass Effect. Almost. All right, so to please Gem Wonders once again, you can go catch a level 70 Mewtwo in the cave of that little forest area called Pokemon Village off of Snowbell City. Once you've captured it, it only captured, not defeated, it will leave behind the Mega Evolution Stone for itself for your game's version. I had the Mewtwo Knight Y, which gives it its, I think that's the speed form, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, yeah, that's the one that everyone saw, and that was New Mew. I have New Mew if I wanted it, but I don't care. I'm just going to use that in GTS for, like, bartering things. I'll go on forums one day and, like, want a really obscure Pokemon, like Lickitung, and I'll be like, I'll give you my Mewtwo Knight Y Mewtwo, and you can Mega Evolve into New Mew all you want. It'll look like Jesse from Team Rocket. So, yeah, that's what I got. And you're also playing Y, so you have the same stone as me, right?
No. I'm playing X, so I got Mewtwo Knight X.
Okay. And I forget what he looks like when he turns into his X form. He gets, like, bone armor.
Bulky.
Right?
He gets bulky and a tiny bit more armor. That's about it.
Yeah. I'm sure his defenses go up at that. I don't know what that form's called. So, yeah, it's fun if you're really into Mewtwo, and it's, I think, the first time that we've seen it since Gen 1 and or Gen 3 remakes of Gen 1. So that's pretty cool if you're into that business. Maybe it showed up before and I just didn't care because I tend to not care about legendaries, but if that's your thing, then you have a Mewtwo. Good for you. If you want to use legendaries, be my guest. That's not my date. That's not my gig, and we all know that.
Good day for a fan of Mewtwo.
Good day for a fan of Mewtwo. Just like it was a good day for a fan of Lucario for Jack up until he left that thing out in the rain.
Ouch.
I'll never forget that. That was horrible. That was absolutely horrific. So did you have any trouble catching Mewtwo or anything in particular that you did or didn't do to go through with it? Did you even capture it?
He took a couple of Ultra Balls.
It wasn't hard. I like to agree that capture rates went down for your XY, because I've never had a single issue catching anything, ever. Even when I think I should, you know?
Yeah. But on the Lucario note, I'm not giving Jack a puppy for Christmas.
He would abandon it. He'd be like, I don't want your stinky old pet. That was the best moment. I love that. That was great. So, what else was I going to say? Oh, yeah. I think I had another critical capture, and it was on one of these legendaries that we're talking about. And it just kind of happened, and I was like, great ball, that worked. It's a master ball now. And I didn't use my master ball for any of these legendaries. I could have been lazy, but I use dusk balls generally, because dusk balls have the highest catch rate below a master ball if you're either at nighttime or inside of a cave. Fun fact, they work better than ultra balls, so now you know. After you've done the Mewtwo bit, you can go and you can do this whenever order you want, really. But you can go catch Zigarig, and I'm not going to pronounce his name right ever. I'm just going to call it Z for now on. If you fly to Corway Town and head north to Route 18 to that Terminus Cave, that was the horrible, horrific cave that we couldn't stand on PokeChat because it was just designed poorly and didn't make sense and had Zubat-like Gravelers jumping out at you all the time, and it was just miserable. Basically, I just max repelled out, and I was just like, yay, I'm going to bike on down and rock smash everything and get over to the Z Pokemon and, get the items in his room. Did you do that, too? He had, like, different wings where you can go off and get the items in the form of an X.
I have an even on there. That means going back to that place.
It had nothing to do with the story, and it didn't do anything special. And when I captured it, its Pokedex entry just said simply, like, it watches over humans as they destroy the ecosystem. I was like, oh, big deal! Okay. Like, they're just running out of ideas for legendaries. They've already gotten their god Pokemon, and they're done. I mean, once you reach Arceus, where you go?
Global warming type Pokemon.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what this thing is. It's like this weird snake guy. Nothing special about it. I'm not going to use it. I don't see anyone.
Notice that it starts with Z.
Was it what?
Notice that it starts with Z. Name.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And, oh, I know. Everyone does. Yes, there's X. X was your Xerneas, and Y was your Yveltal, so Z is going to be your Zygarde, and then you're going to have all your generations to match up with your legendaries. Yeah, it makes sense. I get it. And it's more literal than any other, you know, third game has ever been, so it pretty much spells it out right then and there. And I agree, Simon. It's most likely that from Zygarde that we're going to have Z, and from the sales of Pokemon XY. I was just telling you that, and people in the PokeChat Facebook fan group saw this, I was doing a research paper on Pokemon, of all things, and I was talking about how an active audience has changed the games, and one of the points that I made was that in one day, the Pokemon X and Y games together sold 1 million cartridges, and I was like, holy crap, and there's all the other crazy numbers for what this series did, and it's just the most tremendous sales they've had for any of the Pokemon games, so it'd be stupid to not see Z at this point. It would just be like the not intelligent to not take advantage of that market that's like sitting right there in the palm of your hand on a silver platter. And you know, what I find odd about that, on the graphic that I was talking about, where it said 1 million games were sold in one day for a Pokemon XY, a lot of the third games also sold like 1 million or 2 million, actually, altogether, including like Platinum, for instance. And I was like confused. I was confused why a third game would still sell as many. Weren't you, Simon?
Well, if it's Pokemon, I'm not really surprised by much at all. I'm surprised they're not even taking more advantage of Pokemon. Like, we only get a new game like every, what, 2-3 years? Unless it's part of like a series.
Simon. Pokemon Ranger, Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, Pokemon Trozzi, Pokemon Stadium, Pokemon Ranch. I'll go on forever and ever and ever and ever. They're taking advantage of Pokemon Pinball. Like, they have this reeled in. That's just games. I mean, I'm not going to start on cards and movies and TV shows. They know in manga. Like, they have this series reined in every single ounce of media that they can. They know exactly what they're doing with it. And that's why we don't get games as often as we do. And that's why it was so strange that we got XY as quick as we did. Hence, we were confused on PokeChat when it happened. Hence that episode style being named A Wild Gen 6 Appeared, because it's so random. It was like 3 years too early. I was like, oh, that doesn't follow a trend.
I actually, up on the fan group, I put up a graphic the other day about how good Nintendo's profits are compared to Sony and Microsoft. And somebody was like, this is why Nintendo doesn't even consider them competition. It was quite entertaining.
Yeah, it's like I guess if we had to make that argument, and this would be the last thing of PokeChat for this episode, is that you could pretty much say that Sony and Xbox or Microsoft do tend to have, let's say, higher quality adult games, when Pokemon and Mario and Kirby, let's say, are the main entries of Nintendo, and everything else that's more adult, Metroid or Samus or Zelda, tends to kind of get pushed away, and that's usually why people don't like Nintendo too much, because they don't get enough adult games that are made for their core fans. They get shovelware or Super Mario Bros. 3D World or something like that, you know? So I see where you're coming from, that Nintendo shouldn't really consider them competition because they have that shovelware and family-friendly game market cornered, and that's where the money is. But I can see both sides of the plate where people get frustrated at Nintendo not releasing enough Metroid, Zelda, etc. games, you know?
It's quite amusing at EB Games over here. They've got PlayStation 4 and Xbox One opposite ends of the store, and it's like, fate!
Yes, they're very similar, and they don't really have too many differences other than, like, they'll, like, throw, I don't know, like, Naughty Dog is one of Sony's biggest things, and the Halo company is another one of the biggest things that Microsoft has. So other than that, like, they're going to get the same kind of games that the Wii U won't. So in the end of the day, they're going to just be fighting against each other and never win. So that's my opinion on consoles, but I don't know. Consoles is a whole other podcast, Saman. I'll give you that much. All right, guys. So we'll see you on Saturday for our live episode at noon EST. This will be our last live episode. We will be doing everything of those fabulous Looker missions, the really, really good missions inside of Lumia City. I know I was a big fan of those, and Ariel will be really excited to talk about that, too. And past that, we'll start our anime recaps up until about May, when we will do our movie one DVD commentary. Basically, you know, like, you can find a new DVD, but it's PokeChat. And then we'll finally start the manga for the Adventures series. So I hope you guys are looking forward to all that PokeChat still has to offer for you guys. And up until Saturday, we will bid you farewell and have a good rest of your work, school, life week. Bye, guys.
Bye.